Good. All right. We'll start again. Coventry City. Very, very unlucky today in the FA Cup. We didn't see a minute of that game, to be fair, did we? Because we were too busy watching Liverpool.
No, we did. We watched the whole of the first half.
Well, I didn't really watch the first half. I was too worried about that Liverpool game. I saw that lineup today for Liverpool and I was not at all confident. Not at all confident.
Why?
I should have been.
It was all fine.
We did all right. What's your thoughts on the Coventry-Manchester United thing?
I love an underdog story. I was a bit sad. Particularly when I thought that they'd won it just before the death. And then VAR had scuppered the Coventry dream, shall I say. But yeah, a bit of a shame, wasn't it? And then, of course, when Manchester United missed that first pen, it was like, oh, wow, this is going to be... maybe this is going to be the day of the underdog. But
well, Casemiro stepped up for that penalty and it was proper casual, wasn't it? Then what was the one the other day? Was it Bernardo Silva against Newcastle? What was that one? There was one where it just sort of casually chipped down the middle and the keeper just stood there and caught it.
No, not against Newcastle, like in the Champions League.
Champions League. Yeah, of course. Yeah. That felt very casual. But that one from Casemiro today, it was almost a bit like, I don't care about the outcome of this game. I'm just going to casually chop it down the middle and the keeper just caught it.
Yeah.
But listen, congratulations, Manchester United fans. We should not be too negging on you because you are in an FA Cup final up against Manchester City.
A derby.
Both of those games had, for sure, the VAR controversy. I'm not going to spend any time on it, but the VAR controversy for the Grealish handball in the City game was right up there, wasn't it? Right up there. I mean, he moves his arm towards the ball. It's not in a natural silhouette. Someone tell me that's not a penalty. I can't get my head around it. It's absolutely disgusting. And to be honest, as you guys are saying in the chat, as Tashan is saying in the chat, someone at Nottingham Forest's social media team are going to get their P45 on Monday, aren't they?
No, right. I won't have this.
Why?
Because there is no admin at any social media place that has gone off their own back and said that. That has come from above.
Do you think?
Yeah. Like, I work with like loads of social media people all the time. Nobody,
you're saying that is not an intern error. That's not
someone from the club on the social media channel having a rant. That has come from above.
From upon
they've
high.
Been touched. They've been given that to put out.
Mm.
It's a club statement.
Does that make it better or worse? I think that makes it worse.
Well,
first of all, do you agree with it as a thing to have been done?
Well, there's two different questions there. Do I agree with what it said?
Yeah.
In terms of they should have had penalties? Yes, they should have had penalties. In my opinion, they were penalties. However,
the second one, by the way, the handball. Oh, my God. That's as clear as day.
Do I agree with them slandering the fourth official, the VAR official, and saying he's done it because he's a Luton fan? No, absolutely
not. One, isn't it?
You can't go out and accuse a professional person of manipulating a football match for his own club benefit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you can't. So you can say I'm really unhappy about the penalties. You can say we felt that, you know, we were robbed of three penalties, fine. You can't say the VAR guys cheated and we told you this was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's not the first time that a club will feel like they've been wronged by VAR this season or the last, right? We Liverpool have it every week, right?
Then
you have, like I've said before about how badly I think Burnley and Vincent Kompany have had it this year with VAR. Bad, bad times. This just happened to be three in one game. Now, I think with number one and number three, I don't want to spend too much time on this. I said I'm not going to talk about VAR and here we go. With number one and number three, they are penalties. But if they're not given, you wouldn't come out and say something like that. But number two, the handball, it's a shocker.
See,
it's a shocker. I mean, it's a handball.
But weirdly, I almost think the opposite. Because you can see that as his hands. So I'm not that sad. I'm not that upset about the handball one. Because as he's running with his hands in a natural rhythm. Like, you can see that he's trying to get back in his hands.
Please.
And he is trying to get his hands down. So,
Sam.
Look, I'm just saying that we always moan about handballs being given because of all of the nonsense. It doesn't really upset me that one wasn't. The first one and the third one, they are actual penalties. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I was seeing my clean sheet Pickford going before my eyes multiple times in this game.
I've never seen anybody be so happy about a Pickford clean sheet as you this afternoon. That was unreal.
Bonus point.
Two bonus as well.
Two.
Was it two or one?
No,
bonus?
He got one. He got one bonus and he got a clean sheet and he got a save point.
Well, I tell you what, as a non-Pickford owner, I can't complain with that one. I said last week about, you know, the Anthony Gordon 17 pointer. Fair play, he deserved it. Well, Pickford deserved his clean sheet today. He was outstanding. And that save in the first half as well.
Yeah.
That was worth a bonus point on its own. That one save. It was so good. So, yay, Pickford owners, thanks, Pickford. Well done. You, Sam, have finally got a goalkeeper decision correct.
No, that's stop it. I've had two in a week. Because I played Petrovic on Monday night instead of Pickford, who got naught.
Here we go.
Petrovic got six. Or did he get seven? Might have got a seven. And then today, I play Pickford. He's still got a game to go and he's got eight. I'm so happy.
Pickford owners absolutely loving it. Absolutely loving it. Guys, I'm just going to turn this mic up a little bit because I appreciate that I'm not going to be talking into it a lot. This is why on the screen
now. I don't understand what's happened to the tech, darling.
I don't know.
What have you done?
Sam, we got the new camera. It's probably screwed everything up.
I think the camera has got a built-in mic. You probably have to shut that camera off.
Probably, but you're talking to the least technically enabled person. This is FPL Family. For 7 years, I've been screwing up technology. But you know how this works.
But this has been working, the multiple mics. I like having my own mic right here like this, like all the way up close to me. Now I've got to, like, reluctantly share it again. You've come over real close to me.
Yeah, well, for the podcasters, they won't care too much about
this. It's terrible. Look at this. You're sitting in front of the light.
Oh, I know. It's all gone, isn't it? It's all gone. But what I am going to do is I'm going to turn this mic up a little bit.
Why?
Let's put that on about 110. Because I feel like I'm like, because I'm going to say hello to a few people in the chat now. That means looking this way.
Okay.
Which means kind of being away from them. So I'm sort of like this. I'm like,
what are you doing?
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Stay over there. It's invading my space. It's my personal space.
Harry's on. Hello, mate. He just says, just mute the camera in OBS. Harry, we haven't all got your expertise, mate. We haven't.
Harry, it's not hard. Just go to the camera and press mute.
Well, there's no sound input here. Oh, this is the content people want, isn't it? This is why people turn up to FPL Family. You show me here where the camera audio in is. There's no audio in other than Mike Sam, right? Where is it? You tell me. No?
Well, I can't see Lee because I'm not close enough to it.
Well, why don't we swap sides? Let's not do that. Let's definitely not do that. We will struggle on, guys. We'll struggle on.
What happens if you turn yours back on now? Maybe the echo will have gone.
No, I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to do that. Joseph Maloney with the super chat. Hello, mate. Thank you for the super chat. Evening, Lee and Sam. Hope your game week is going well. Good to see LFC back to winning ways. Do you know what, mate? It was, and we flipping well needed it as well. We've had a bad week to 10 days. So for us to come back, for Liverpool to come back and put in a decent performance and to score three goals at Fulham is no mean feat. And this might be a little bit biased. This might come across a little bit biased. I think Diogo Jota should get the Ballon d'Or.
Oh,
might be a little bit biased. What a player. What an unbelievably good player Diogo Jota is. The work rate off the ball. If you've got young kids and you're teaching them football, show them videos of Diogo Jota.
Right. So hang on a minute.
He is the best player.
Ballon d'Or.
Sam, he's the best player in the league by a mile. He is unbelievably good. You can keep your Haalands, keep your Salahs. Diogo Jota. But he's a pen merchant. Diogo Jota.
Ollie Watkins?
He's all right, but he's not Jota.
Tell you what, he's another one that you basically accused of being dead as a player. What is it you said about Ollie Watkins a few years ago? Overrated, I think.
I said it was a bit overrated, but you know, maybe 4 or 5
Harry
years
Kane,
ago.
Most goal.
4 or 5 years ago, maybe he was. He needed improvement. And he obviously listened, and now he's world class.
Harry Kane, most goal involvements across Europe. Yeah, he was done. He's dead as a player, remember?
Yeah,
done.
He's dead as a done. Player. I think he got like back-to-back hat-tricks after
he's
I said
He's got like
it.
53 goal involvements this season. And he's done.
I don't know. Listen, I'm obviously...
And now you're saying that Jota is the Ballon d'Or candidate.
Yeah.
Do you want to take your red goggles off?
It might be a little bit biased.
A little bit? A little bit?
He was unbelievable today. Unbelievable. Great finisher. Great work rate off the ball. The pressing from the front, which is the bit we've missed, Joseph, right? That's the bit we've missed. It's the pressing from the front. the energy that he brought to the team today was so, so good.
Are you all right, dear, tonight?
People are saying, I think he's joking. Guys, obviously I'm joking, but I'm just saying.
He's been drinking, guys.
And people are asking whether I'm drunk. But Jota's performance today was everything we needed to get back on form, and we've missed it massively.
What is happening in this stream?
What?
We've come on. The tech's not working.
Standard. And Jota's Ballon d'Or.
Jota's apparently going to win the Ballon d'Or. Watkins is no longer dead as a player, nor is Harry Kane. You're sitting on my foot.
Honestly, Watkins with another two assists this game week. Just
yeah, we've Watkins, got Darwin.
Watkins to Darwin a month ago was just the worst transfer that any of us could have made. And I made it because Darwin's got a double game week, so it must be better. And we'll talk about, guys, later on, because there will be some FPL content on this podcast at some stage, right? I won't just go on about how Jota should be the best player in the world. We will talk about my wild card. So my wild card is active. I have pressed the button. It is active.
Have you got Darwin?
He's gone.
Have you got Jota? He's the best player in the world.
Jota,
the
Ballon d'Or is coming in. So I will share two drafts that I've got of my wild card, just to give you a feel for how my brain has been thinking over the course of the day.
Because I dread to think, actually.
One of the drafts has two goalkeepers in it that add up to, when you add them together, about 10.3's worth of budget.
What?
And I put them together. I just thought, why am I doing this? So then I changed it and I did it. I've got a second draft. So I'll be interested to... No, I haven't got Pickford. I'll be interested to hear what you guys think of my two wildcard drafts. And there's one player in particular, I shared this in the Slack earlier with the patrons, there's one player in particular that I'm super keen on, in midfielder, and I'm struggling to get him in my team because there's a lot of good midfield picks. Forwards and defenders, I think I might be a bit template. But in midfield, I think there's some really, really good picks because the Spurs boys are obviously back on the radar. We've got to talk about them. Newcastle with a double game week. City, obviously, you've got to invest. As well as Haaland, you're going to want a Foden or somebody. Maybe you have even a Kevin De Bruyne. Lots and lots of good options. And also some glaring omissions on my wildcard as well. No Darwin. And here's a spoiler for you. No Salah either. No Salah either. So we'll discuss wildcard in a bit. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam, and then we'll get onto the games. We'll do our overall...
We're 15 minutes in, have we not said hello?
Because I'm talking about Jota getting the Ballon d'Or and all sorts of crap, aren't I?
Oh, my God.
And the technology's not working. Right, here we go. So I'm going to say hello to people. Look at the screen, but also, like, get a bit closer to the mic.
Oh, my God, this is...
Jai Mera is in. Hey, Jai. Nice to see you, mate. Daniel Banks is here. And Watkins was injured for a game.
Who's Watkins?
I don't know who Watkins is. Wally Watkins. Got Nigel the Crab in and moderating as usual, mate. Nice to see you. We've got Webby is in. He says, Udogi out has messed up my plans. Yeah, unless you missed it, guys. I'm sure none of you would have missed this. But yeah, Destiny Udogi out now for the rest of the season. For Spurs, pictured on his Instagram with his foot up, right, in hospital
and
stuff, right?
Picked up an injury in training. Spurs tweeted, didn't they, afterwards, and said he picked up an injury in training. It required surgery, and he'll be out till pre-season.
Yeah, bad news for him. Bad news. Who comes in then?
Ben Davis. It will be.
You think Ben Davis?
What'll be interesting is, does he put Ben Davis out on the left, or
what?
Does he stick Mickey on the left and put Ben in centre back? Because Ben is more naturally...
Come on, man. You can't put Van de Ven out there.
Why not? The speed of him.
Yeah, but he's not...
Stick him there. See what happens.
Well, we saw what happened to Spurs when Van de Ven was not at centre-half, so let's not go there again,
well,
shall we?
He's been missing for a while. But Ben Davis was good covering.
I don't know. You want Van de Ven.
I'm intrigued
where
to see
best,
what we do next.
Where he's best. George is in. Hey, George. He says, you missed my super chat. Oh, it's just another thing
I mean,
to
George,
go wrong. George, of all the things that we've done, mate, here we go. The
what,
super
no,
chat.
Hang on. It's not all the things we've done. I've not done anything. I've come here. I've sat in my normal position.
Yeah.
I've had to share my mic with you.
I'm sorry about that.
I've had to deal with you encroaching on my personal space.
Look at the screen right now. It's just like me leaning. It looks so some rubbish.
But God, why are you doing it?
There's so many good FPL YouTubers, guys. Why are you here? Go and look at Harry. Harry's work is like amazing. 100,000 subscribers. He's so
Harry's
good,
here.
Harry. Yeah, you guys spend your evenings with us. I can't thank you enough. I don't know why you do it. I'm just on here saying Jota's Ballon d'Or and like leaning in the video. This is so amateur. What's going on? So rubbish. George, thanks for the super chat. Wouldn't have this on the official pod, would you? You would not have it.
I have enough problems on that. Without
yeah, exactly. Don't need me on that. George, thank you for the super chat. We will eventually read it out. Good evening, Lee and Sam. Hello, mate. Hope you're both well. Good result for Brentford this weekend.
Safe.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think they were safe anyway, but that's a big win.
Tony's interesting, though.
Big win, big win. Did Tony get the start as well? I don't really know.
Dropped, I think.
Did he? Or are they now preparing for... George is a Brentford fan, by the way. That's
well,
why we did,
there was a whole conversation in the Slack yesterday, George was part of, that, where they were talking about, had Tony been... Was there an argument with Tony and Frank? And basically, has Frank gone, you're done?
Or are they just preparing the squad for life without him next year? They're sort of getting a feel for what this is going to look like, you know, maybe. I mean, they're safe, so why not, right?
Yeah.
Evening, me and Sam. Hello, George. Hope you're both well. We are, mate, except for, you know, me leaning constantly. Great advice given by Sam on the pod.
Oh.
First for everything, George.
What do you mean that's a first for everything?
Eze and Mateta. Also was at Brentford's masterclass. So yeah, there we go. George, big Brentford fan.
Excellent advice this week. I think you're fine.
George was at the game. He was at the Brentford masterclass.
He's always there.
14% green, mate. That's not bad. That is not bad at all. Eze and Mateta were the ones to have. And if you managed to go triple with Elise as well, if you were playing your free hit, I want to hear from you. I mean,
George,
that is sensational
that
stuff.
That little Zoom chat we had a couple of weeks ago, it's gone pretty well, hasn't it, since, to be fair. We've improved.
Yeah, George is doing all right, isn't he, off the back of some of your advice?
Yeah, we had a little Zoom Patreon chat a couple of weeks ago, and it's been all right since.
There we go. It's been all right for you both, I think. You've had a couple of greens as well, so whatever George said to you in terms of advice is obviously you're taking it well. Very good. Who else we got? We've got Henning is in. You need Isak and Gordon Lee. Well, listen, more on the wildcard a bit later on. At least one of those guys is going to be in, if not both. Jeff is in. Jeff is saying this stream is like the old times. If that is Jeff the OG from back in the day, Jeff Holt, then it's lovely to see you, mate. And yeah, it's a bit back
I
to the old days.
I don't even
isn't
know
it?
What's going on tonight.
It's just this massive like gap.
Why are
here.
You still leaning
like,
over here?
Because I have to be near the mic, Sam. I'm doing all the talking.
Just look, why
hello.
Don't you put this here for while you're talking?
Oh yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
For sake.
Liam Healy is here. Hello, mate. How did Bristol City get on this weekend? I'd love to know. Kingdom FC is here. Wilco is here. Hello, mate. Nice to see you. Kieran White is in. We've got Mahomi is in. Royale could play on the left. I think Emerson Royale is going to get a game now, isn't he?
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not as you move the mic back. Who else have we got? We've got Gov FPL. We've got Paul Cook, Webby, Lalex, a whole host of you guys in this evening. So guys, as I said before, thank you so much for joining us tonight on FPL Family. And before we move on, we have to say, Sam, welcome to the FPL Family channel members team, Ken's Bromsgrove. Ooh. So Ken's, just as we were coming on, joined the channel, mate. So
I bet he's regretting
you.
It after this stream.
He's like, unsubscribe. This is absolute rubbish.
He's like, why on earth do I want to be part of this nonsense?
Ken's. Thank you, mate, for joining us in as a member of the channel and for supporting us. Your support means... Oh, you guys are saying, oh, my ears. What's happened now? What's that? No need to shout. You see, Neve, moved the mic closer to me, but I haven't lowered my voice. I'm still shouting. So just leave it where it is.
Look, don't blame me for any of this nonsense that's going on tonight.
Blaming all of you. He's definitely drunk, George is saying. Mate, I haven't had a drink all day, but I am high on that Liverpool win from earlier. I absolutely am. Wilco's in with the super chat. Thank you, mate. I want a drink of what Lee's had. I've not had anything to drink. Just trying to...
Why do people keep accusing you? Hayley accused you of being drunk on Sky a few weeks ago as well.
I don't know. I must have a reputation. change Trent and Jota. Uh-oh. To Havertz on Robbo on 52. Much love for what was discussed in the Slack. Say if you want. Ah, yes. So, I, you know what? I'm not going to go into too much detail of what was said in the Slack. But let's just say the Slack over the weekend became far more than just like FPL chat, didn't it? Far more. And the guys that we have in there, the guys and girls that we have in there, are all so supportive of each other for, you know, just stuff that's going life on stuff. In their lives, life stuff. You know, you just want somebody to talk to. That's a safe space to do it. It's not the first time it's happened, but over the weekend, for sure, it was, you know, not just FPL. And it was awesome. And you guys are awesome in there. You're just awesome.
Yeah.
I love you.
I sat there on Saturday night and I was like, this is... It's such a random byproduct of the FPL Family Patreon community that... He's just full of the loveliest, nicest people who are genuinely friends now and are genuinely there to help and support each other from all the different corners 100%. Of the world. And I've got so much time for it. I'm in there quite a lot because it really elevates my mood. Every time I go in there, there's people taking the mick out of each other. There's people supporting each other. There's people in rehab because their scores are in the mud. There's other people celebrating because their scores have gone through. And it's such a nice, it basically is a cross section of the whole of society in there. And it's such a lovely place to be. So yeah, shout out to the Slackers. There's loads of you in. I know there are, always are. Because you're the only people that will deal with our nonsense all the time.
You often go in there for a bit of therapy after having to do these live streams with me, don't you?
Well, I will be in a bit.
After
guys,
this one, for sure.
Please be in there
for sure.
About half 10, because I'm going to need some therapy.
Right, Sam, it's 9:05. We've been going for nearly 25 minutes, and we haven't talked about FPL, so we better do
got
that.
Got any tech working yet?
Let's talk about some of these games before we talk about our scores and then wildcards and all that sort of stuff. Where do you want to start with this motley crew? Should we go with Wolves 0, Arsenal 2? This wasn't a particularly good game, right? Arsenal fans won't care about that because they got the job done. A bit of a mishit shot from Trossard. Lots of injuries from a Wolves perspective. But, you know, listen, the narrative of the game is Arsenal do what Arsenal do, which is keep a clean sheet. They get back to winning ways. Very good performance from Raya, who popped up with the 3 bonus points. Also from Saliba, who got the 2. What do we do now about Arsenal? Because if we look at the fixtures going forward, there will be some that are wildcarding in game week 35 that go, okay, well, Arsenal haven't got the double game week in 37. In fact, they go to Old Trafford. And with Spurs away up next, okay, there's some couple of really nice looking home games in Bournemouth and Everton. But there will be wildcarders in 35 that are going without Arsenal altogether, I reckon. I think we're going to see it. What's your view on that then, as a concept, as a principle?
I am pondering.
Ooh, okay.
And at the moment, it is very much just a pondering on selling Saka.
Yeah.
And not having any Arsenal attack. I'm still going to keep Saliba and Gabriel. For me,
keep the double Arsenal defence still on.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah, because I think for me, I don't have to play both of them all the time. I can bench one of them at times. I'm not going to need the budget that much. I could do with. I need 0.3 to do what I want to do in my main transfer.
Okay.
And so selling Saka, because I agree with what you were saying before. I think the midfield 5 slots, actually, arguably, there's a lot of options. Like, I would really
It's difficult to pick a 5 on wildcard.
It is. And I'm looking at my Man City coverage and thinking, oh, it's not enough because I've only got Erling Haaland at the moment, and having an extra City player, namely Phil Foden, who hasn't graced my FPL team yet.
Oh, you're thinking about him, are you?
Feels nice.
For the first time this season.
For the first time. Yeah. So, but then obviously that saves a lot of money. That money I can use to invest elsewhere, improve the other parts of my team, which will be really lovely ahead of a bench boosting game week 37. So these are all kind of things that I'm pondering on. The issue I have with it is that Arsenal are in a title race. They are in a title race. And
absolutely.
If they want to win the title, they have to, yes, continue to keep the clean sheets. But they also have to score goals. And, all right, Saka didn't get anything this time around and actually hasn't really been that exciting the last few weeks.
Mm.
But
I feel like there's a bit of narrative from some of the Arsenal fans, which I agree with, which is he's almost got like a... He's sort of in a permanent state of injury, isn't he?
Was just
like
limping.
Low-level injured, like almost as if the season's sort of catching up with him. And you know, that's understandable.
He's not great ahead of the Euros either.
Well, yeah, from an England perspective, it isn't great. You want your best players fit and firing. But you could see why there might be a bit of movement away from Saka, not least because they've got players within that team. They'll share the goals around, as we saw this weekend, right? Trossard comes in, Odegaard comes in. And Saka, didn't play badly. And I think he was in the top. Let me see. I saw this stat on the Fantasy Football Scout members area earlier. Yeah, touches in the opponent's half. He was third best across the game week after Munoz of Crystal Palace, interestingly. More on him in a bit. And then Gibbs White from Forest. So Saka was third. He was definitely involved. He was definitely doing all the right things. But yeah, if Arsenal are going to share the goals around and those 5 midfield slots are really hard to fill for wildcarders and for non-wildcarders, I can see why you might move.
Mm.
I can see it.
And I think I wouldn't feel comfortable. I think that is the one thing to say. I think going into the final part of the season, obviously you want to, as far as you can, invest in as many players involved in hunts for things as possible.
Without a doubt.
Title race players, Europa League players.
He's still the penalty taker for a team that are hunting the league.
Because he has given plenty away over the course of this season as well.
He is, I think he is.
I mean, he is their penalty taker, but we've also seen him give plenty away over the course of this season, which has been a bit of a frustration. I think it's always the same, and we always sit here and we say it, that there have to be compromises and there have to be sacrifices. And those compromises and sacrifices that you make come with risk and reward, right?
They're going to have, and I haven't seen, you know, what the schedule looks like for Arsenal in terms of days off in between, but they have got four games left of their season, right? They're out of Europe, they're out of the Cups, they're out of Europe?
Well, they're not out of the Cups.
They are out of the Cups.
Man City?
No, Arsenal I'm talking about Man City. So, no, Arsenal got four games left, and that's it.
Yeah.
So they will. So this kind of narrative about Saka being a little bit injured all the time, he will have now. He'll have some rest in between games, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they've obviously got Wednesday as well, because this doesn't show Wednesday, does it?
No, this is from 35 onwards.
Yeah, so they've got Wednesday, then the North London Derby at the weekend, and then they will slot into each weekend.
Weekly cadence, yeah.
Which is fine. So yes, there's that to factor in, but I don't know. You see, it's interesting, isn't it? Because what does that mean? Are you more, when you're in this fight for everything, is that actually better? Do you know what I mean? Like, is there mentally and as a team, is there a driving thing that comes with it when you're out? Like, I was pleased. Well, so this result made me think, okay, well, maybe I can stay troubled up on Arsenal because they've gone out there and bounced back from what happened in midweek.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the fixtures aren't... An away trip to North London...
Yeah, it's a tricky game, right?
It's tricky. Yeah, they've not got the easiest of run-ins. And like you say, no more doubles. So I think you just have to look at your team and think, of my midfield five, of my front three, of my back five, where are my weaknesses? And can I upgrade those weaknesses? And
yeah, you can't call Saka a weakness. No, it's just like, is there a better pick?
I'm not saying he's a weakness. What I'm saying is you look at the five slots you've got. So when I'm looking at mine, at the moment, Salah and Saka are my two weakest midfielders. Mm. It doesn't mean that they're weak or terrible, but they are, of my five, because Gordon and Palmer are banging at left, right and centre, and Son can't go anywhere because he's got two doubles. So Salah and Saka are my two weakest points. Now, I have to decide, do I think they're weak enough that I need to get rid?
Yeah.
And do I think that there are other options across the league who are better options? Yeah. And that's where I am.
Yeah.
Because I think that there are.
Yeah, I think if you do sell him, you do it knowing that you're taking a bit of a risk. You understand that risk, and whatever you get in as a result of taking him out, you hope that there's more upside there. And with a lot of midfielders on double game weeks, you can see why, right? You can see. Wolves, for their part, though, so lots of injuries and stuff. Are they a little bit on the beach, do you think? Or
no, I don't think so. I think actually they did.
Not that sort of manager, is he, Gary?
To be fair, I actually thought that they did quite well in this game, given the amount of injuries that they've got. Yeah, like, they were going into this game without Cunha, with Sarabia on the bench, which I thought was really interesting, given the amount of other injuries that they have.
Aitnouri bench comes on for a point.
Without Cunha. But then, actually, O'Neill was talking in his press conference and was saying that, actually, Cunha's got a chance for midweek, which will annoy everybody that sold him ahead of the double. Yeah. And that he's expecting Aitnouri to start in midweek, which is great. For me, I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. He got 1 point in the first game. Was I really expecting much in that first game against Arsenal? No, I think I was probably expecting two. At, yeah. So if he gets to start in the second game, then actually I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I think that's all there is to say about Wolves. I think the interesting thing for me at the back end of this double game week is, what do you do about Aitnouri? Do you hold him till the end of the season? Because with the other injuries that they have... He is probably...
Luton at home next. That's going to be a difficult sell if he's fit.
Well, he's probably... They've actually got quite nice fixtures, to be fair, Wolves.
No, they've got City and Liverpool away.
Yeah, but the two that are surrounding that are fine.
Yeah, well, Palace at home looks okay for 37, but it's a single.
Yeah, but that's fine, because that's the bench boost week that I need people to have.
Oh, I suppose if bench boost 37 is your strategy. Yeah,
okay. Then actually it's fine, maybe, because I don't have to play him against Liverpool and Man City. I can pop him to the bench and leave him there, because he's not exactly taking up loads of budget. So for me, Aitnouri is a kind of... If fit, I probably will hold till the end of the season. You can replace if you want to. You can go for a Van Heck or somebody cheap. If you're not trebled up on Chelsea yet, you go with an extra Chelsea player if you want.
You've got to keep him for Luton at home. The way that Luton are concerned, they're having a... I think, you know, we talked about the Premier League season maybe catching up with Saka. for sure it's catching up with Luton. I mean, for them to go down the way they went down this weekend, it's, and they, you know, I they're local to us, right? I'd love them to stay up. I really would.
They're not going to stay up.
But it's looking tricky for them. And a home game for Wolves against Luton. If you've got Wolves, you've got a hold, haven't you? You've got to. Even on, and I think that's a differential for those that have got Wolves, because a lot of the wildcarders in 35 won't hold, right? They won't hold because they go, oh, well, I'll get somebody whoever's got a double, whatever, right? So a lot of the wildcarders in 35, I don't think there'll be many Wolves in those drafts. So if you've got them, I think they're a differential for you for next week. So let's go to, let's talk about, what's the other game that I want to discuss? Palace 5, West Ham 2. This was a real, and it certainly felt like it. We haven't seen the highlights of this game yet. I'm going to watch it on Match of the Day tonight. But certainly felt like a proper European hangover for West Ham. And we've seen this previous in the season where West Ham come out of European games and they struggle. They really, really struggle.
No Bowen today
as well. No Bowen either. You know, coming up against Bayer Leverkusen, who are one of the, you know, one of the top teams in Europe at the minute, right? In terms of their form, just won the Bundesliga, etc. That would have been a very physically and emotionally challenging game for West Ham, no doubt
they
about it.
They did do well, though, to be fair to them, in that game against Bayern. Like, they got one all draw. I know that they went out.
Yeah,
but they actually were winning that game for nearly all of it. They did really well, and they were probably a bit unlucky not to win that second leg.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, they lost Bowen again, because I think David Moyes said that they gave Bowen an injection to get him through in the midweek game, and then, obviously, wasn't available for the weekend game as a result of that. Probably come back a bit too quickly.
But having said all of that... Yeah. So giving West Ham all the benefit of the doubt, you can't be 4-0 down after half hour, whatever they were against
31
Palace.
31 minutes, 4 goals.
31 minutes, 4-0. That's just inexcusable. I'm sorry. That's just not allowed. That's just not allowed. And I can see why, you know, I can see why free hitters were going in on Palace. I, for one, bought Eze in. You bought in Mateta. I bought in Munoz as well, because I thought they had a reasonable chance of a clean sheet. And actually, for those that have got Munoz, not that this will give you any comfort, but according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, as I mentioned before, top for touches in the opponent's half this game week. And I'm going to be writing to the folks at Scout to see whether this is true or not, because it's unbelievable, by the way. Munoz touches in the opponent's half. That number there has got to be something like 115, 117, 18, something like that. To put that into context, the next player with the most touches in the opponent's half was Morgan Gibbs-White from Nottingham Forest with what looks like about 80. So Munoz was like so involved in that game. He was also in the top five players for tackles made this week, right? So he was putting it about a little bit and getting plenty of touches in areas where you'd want him to. So potentially a bit unlucky to come away with nothing out of that game. I think there
was
one
unlucky because he probably should have got the assist, but it was an own goal.
Yeah, there was a bit of that, right? Yeah, there was a bit of that. So Munoz owners, you know, unlucky, but you know, you'll go again for the second game in the double game week against Newcastle. But the winners of this game, the winners of in FPL from this game were those that brought in Jean-Philippe Mateta. What a performance. A lot brought in Eze. I was interested to see that you didn't. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because there's a lot that were bringing him in. But to go for Mateta instead, who ends up with 2 goals, an assist, and I think he must have got all 3 bonus. Yeah, all 3 bonus. What a performance. And this was coming, right? Because actually in the last couple of games, the underlying stats looked good. He'd scored against Man City. Unlucky not to get something against Liverpool. Yeah, he must be delighted with that.
Yeah.
don't sound it. 16 so points. Yeah, happy. Really
we went
happy.
On Sky on Saturday. We came off air and I was like, I'm moving my captain's armband to Mateta. I'd spoken about him the whole show.
Oh yeah, I know why you're not happy about this.
So
yeah.
I moved it. So before we got in the before we left the Sky studio, my captain's armband was on Mateta. Drove home. We went, got some lunch for the kids, went back to my parents. We were chatting with my mum and dad, having lunch. At 1:28, I panicked.
Massive bottle job.
And I moved the armband back to Salah. And I, as soon as the deadline passed, I was like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yep.
I should have just...
Yep.
I should have stuck with it.
Should have listened to me. That's what I said to you.
No, you didn't. Stop it.
Right. Shut up now. Right. What happened on the way back from Sky, right? You said, oh, I can't decide whether to go Mateta or Salah, Mateta or Salah. And I said to you, specifically, I said, if... And I remember being as blunt as this. If you had a rank that was in top 50k, I'd be captain in Salah because it's like a shield, right? But where you are, 230k, you've got to attack it. So you want to be captain of Mateta. And I said to you, if I was at 230k, I would captain Mateta.
Yeah, like you said, you would captain Palmer last week.
Yeah, and I nearly did, and I didn't, because I bottled it. And I came on here last week saying, I bottled that.
Yeah, I know. But my point is that, so I am, but part of the reason for doing it, and the reason I moved it in the end, was because I looked at it and I was like, if Salah goes off, he is going to be so heavily captained that I have thought, this season has felt like a fight. It really, honestly, it really has. It's felt like a real fight with my rank, and it's been so hard, and I'm just about getting back to somewhere that I'm relatively happy with.
You had to go for it.
So I was looking at it thinking, if Salah's going to be 80% captained, if I don't go with him and he goes off, it's going to kill me.
Imagine we were sitting here now and you had 32 points from Mateta. It'd be like one of the shouts of the season. I can't believe he didn't do it. I can't believe it. Just winding you up.
I actually want to punch you in the face right now. I didn't do that.
I'll be happy. 16 points is a great differential.
But this is what I was trying to say before you rudely interrupted me again. Was that...
That never happens.
It never happens every bloody week. So the back of my head, I was thinking, Salah's going to... If he goes off and I haven't captained him, it's going to kill me. The flip of that is Mateta. He's like 2% owned or something ridiculous. I have...
He's not. I can tell you he's not 2% owned. He's massively hurt me this week.
I think he's 5%. He's still a massive differential. He's still a big differential.
According to live FPL, he's killed me this week.
Well, that's because he's a legend. So I moved it because I thought, well, he's a differential anyway. Around my rank, it's like 2% owned. So I was like, he is going to be giving me green, whatever happens here. So I could protect myself with the Salah captaincy and know that Mateta gives me green. The other way around, I'm taking a chance. It may or may not pay off. It would have paid off. But with Salah, anything is going to hurt massively. And that's why I did what I did. Because fundamentally, I don't think I am... Weirdly, I know what you were saying about on the drive home. But I think I'd have been more inclined to go for it if I was at 50k. Whereas because I am so annoyed by my rank this season, I was just like, I don't want to finish in the top 500k. Which is what could have happened.
I'd have done it.
Of course you would. You would have done Palmer last week.
For those that have got Eze, and by the way, here's another thing that'll wind you up. You massively dodged an Eze haul as well, because he had seven shots.
He got a haul.
He did get a haul, but he had seven shots. He could have had a lot more. And again, he was, along with his mates Olise and Munoz, he was in the top five for touches in the opponent's half. So that tells you how dominant Palace were against West Ham in this game. Absolutely incredible. So listen, all aboard. We were all aboard Palace for the double game week, and rightly so. We will see what they do against Newcastle in the second game. Thoughts on Palace going forward then? Because Fulham away up next, Man United a single game week, and then Aston Villa. Is this a bit of a one night stand with Crystal Palace for game week 34? Are we not carrying through Palace into game week 35 and beyond? I don't think us wildcarders are we? I don't think so. I haven't got any Palace in my wildcard draft. Are you going to stick with Mateta?
Mateta, I feel like I'm not.
I feel like you are in now.
I'm having a fling. He's going to stick around for a bit.
It's not just a one night stand with Mateta.
It's a full blown affair.
You're just not committing it to captain. You're not that committed to this affair.
I'm not going
to
marry him.
What is this?
But I am going to we are going to have an affair. Me and Mateta are going to have a four game week affair, five game week affair. It's going to carry us through from game week 34 all the way to game week 38. Because he's 5 million. So it's cost me just a little bit more than Muniz at Fulham was doing. The fixtures, arguably, I like them for Palace. There's goals in those games between now and the end of the season. And in bench boost 37, nice fixture.
Do you know what I like about Palace? Is that with the new manager, with Glasner, he's come in, he's doing a great job, but he's also not, they're not going to be allowed to be on the beach, right? You can bet your life he's come in there, Glastonbury, and he said, right, we're going to finish this season strong because you're going to be fighting for your spaces next year.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to be bringing in players in the summer. We're going to take it to the next level. I want to push for Europe next year. This is all going to be part of the narrative, you can imagine, right? Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of teams that for the next four game weeks are going to be beat on the beach, on the beach. And that's going to be very, very difficult to manage some of those. We're going to get some weird results, right, from teams that just can't be asked to turn up. I don't think Palace are in that mindset. I think they're in a, you know, we've got to show that we belong at this club. Well, yeah, good point. I don't know. No double game week in 37.
You don't want to have an affair?
Do you want to go a bit closer to this microphone again?
Because you kept coming over and so I felt like I needed a little bit of space, which is why I came back. You don't fancy a bit of a fling with the Palace?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't.
I'll go and live at Palace for a bit. Yeah. Nice affair in a palace. Sounds lovely to me.
Unlucky Henderson owners, those that bought in Dean Henderson in golf. No. To get that OG, it was very unlucky.
I must admit.
What?
When I looked at the Inner Circle League and Jules Kelly and Ian had all bought in Henderson this week.
They've all got him.
They've all bought him in. Oh. He got minus one. Nice. And Jules and, Kelly and Ian both took a minus four to do that.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, guys. Ow.
You're sitting there with Pickford's eight.
I might have spoken about that in the chat already.
Oh, yes. You need to be tuning into the official pod for the goalkeeper.
The one thing is that had I done the Mateta captain, I'd have been above Kelly now.
Yeah, if you'd have done Mateta captain, you'd be above a lot of people. Because that would have been such an amazing difference. I can't believe you didn't do it. I can't believe it.
I'm going to keep him around, though.
Tell me about your Pickford 8-pointer.
He got a clean sheet. I love Jordan Pickford. England's number one. He's going to win us the Euros. Blimmin' lucky he didn't have to save a penalty because...
He'd have saved it the form he was in today. Well,
so there was one moment when I thought the handball one was going to be given, I had to leave the room. Did you notice I went in the kitchen? Yeah, because I went in the kitchen.
It looks so blatantly a pen, didn't it?
So that's a penalty. I can't watch him not save a penalty. It's going to really upset me. Obviously the injury to Beto happened right at the end. And I was watching it thinking, I just want this game to be over. Please, can this game just be over? And we played 100, God knows how many minutes they played.
Good to see Beto with his stomach going off the pitch.
Honestly, one of the worst falls from a player I've seen.
We both watched it. Obviously live in play, and Sky did the right thing, which was to not show any replays and to not show the images of the pitch. Absolutely the right thing. But we both saw it and both went, I think we swore, and we're just like, oh my God, get the medics on. Because it was just like the way he fell and the way his head hit the floor, you were just like, that's not good.
You can tell how bad it is based upon whether they put their hands down or not. He was unconscious before he hit the ground because no hands came out.
It looked awful.
It was awful. And I was so pleased to see him. I know he had oxygen, but I was so pleased to see the thumbs up. But do I feel that Pickford was maybe a little bit lucky to get his clean sheet today? Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Am I absolutely delighted that he kept his clean sheet today? Yes.
Yeah.
I had Pickford.
I thought he had a good game, you know. Really
yeah, but
game.
He does sometimes. I had Pickford.
That save in the first half was unreal.
Yeah, and I had Pickford on the basis that nice fixture in 37 when he's going to be on my bench, and he had a double this week, and it worked in terms of budget, and that was the important thing. I had to have two cheap ones, so him and Petrovic work quite nicely as a pair. And they have been, to be fair. Petrovic got me a clean sheet last week. Obviously, Pickford's got me one this week. This week, if I'm honest, and I think I said this on the official pod as well, I was not expecting a clean sheet. There was no part of me that thought Pickford would get a clean sheet against in-form goal-scoring Nottingham Forest or against Liverpool.
Yeah.
However, I thought that there might be save point potential because both of these two sides do like a shot.
Yeah.
So I was hoping that across the double game week, he might get eight in terms of, like, you know, 2 points for starting in each of them and then maybe picks up a couple of save points in each one. So to be on eight already going into the Liverpool game...
You take it.
I'm taking that because I feel like against Liverpool, who will put shots on him, there's plenty of save point potential even if a clean sheet doesn't come.
Yeah, there was a couple of XG underachievers for Forest as well. Wood in there with a delta of 0.38 and Gibbs-White with a delta of 0.36. So for sure... Forest had chances, for sure they did, but they just couldn't find a way past the mighty Pickford today. So, deserved. His 8 points was absolutely deserved. Let's talk about Liverpool then. Fulham 1, Liverpool 3. As usual, got loads of thoughts, but I won't go into it first. I'll let you go first. What did you make of it? Good to have Trent back, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good to have Chen back. But again, unless you were free hitting, you weren't really going to go there, were you? Because of the budget factor. Nobody's got that level of budget sitting in the bank.
Another big dub for the free hitters. Yeah. I feel like, you know, if there was any doubt, which there isn't, whether the right week to free hit was 29 or 34, if you free hit this week, there's a pretty good chance you've got Trent. There's a pretty good chance you've got Palace attack. There's a pretty good chance you went double Arsenal. It definitely feels like it was the right thing to do. Not that I want to go back to game week 29 and remember the 15-pointer, because it was awful.
Why have you even mentioned it? Why have you even brought up game week 29? Because game week, it was just horrible. It will long live in the memory as something horrendous. I think from a Liverpool perspective, we went to watch Max play this morning, didn't we? And we were walking across to the pitch and my phone kept going off and I was like, what's going on? And it was the guys in the Slack saying, have you heard the rumours about the Liverpool team? And I was like, oh gosh.
Oh yeah, there was loads of rumours and stuff.
And I'm looking at it thinking, if Darwin and Salah don't start, and then at one point there was a Virgil rumour as well, wasn't there? I was like, what kind of team is this we're going to get from Liverpool? So actually, when I thought, given that it was a complete change up, I was kind of like, let's see how this goes. Trent was good. Free kick was great. He takes a great free kick, does Trent? But we know that, right? We've known that before.
It wasn't just that though, was it? It's his progressive passing. In fact, Sky did a little bit on this in the post-match, which was really good analysis, actually. Jamie Carragher was talking about that Trent is almost like in a free roll at right back. And that's exactly what happened, right? Before, when Trent's not been there, when we pass it around the back, we try and pass through the lines. And we got the players to do that. You give it to Endo, you then give it to Szoboszlai and McAllister. They try and make things happen. But Trent gives you that other option, which is he was coming into the centre of Kwanzaa and Van Dijk today and then pinging balls. He was popping up on the right. He was stepping into midfield. He was playing through balls. His range of passing is like no one else in the league. I mean, he should get Ballon d'Or. He's unbelievable.
No, they can't all have the Ballon d'Or.
he was brilliant again today, Trent. And everything I said about what we missed with Jota, we missed the way that Trent progresses the ball. I mean, what he does, no other player does. It's just so, so good. So, yeah, back on FPL radars, though, because still going to cost you a lot of money and no double game week. So
I don't think he is on radars, no. Not. I think Trent was a fling. I think he was a game week 34 fling.
He was a one-night stand
for
34,
he was absolutely the sort of guy you meet in a nightclub, you have a one-night stand with, and then you don't speak to again for the rest of the season. Because and I mean that in the nicest possible way, Mr. Alexander-Arnold, because I'm sure you're lovely. However, at 8.4 million...
if you're watching, Trent.
You can't...
Sam thinks you're lovely, but only for a one-night stand.
And it had to be in game week 34, because actually after that, one, I don't think that Liverpool keep many clean sheets between now and the end of the season. And two...
We still can't keep clean sheets.
No, and exactly. So one, that rules him out anyway. But secondly, even if you were wildcarding and could afford to get him in, I just don't think you'd spend that level of budget on it, because there's so many other players that you could have that will double between now and the end of the season. I just don't think you'll go there with Trent. I think the conversation about the Liverpool attackers is more interesting, because that's where the points mostly are coming from.
Mm.
I mean, I guess the question mark I have now is which ones, because they're all fit now. And in previous parts of this season, it's been like, right, well, you have to have this one because all of these other guys are injured. So you know that there's going to be minutes here. Well, now Klopp's got choice, hasn't he? Because he's got Salah and Darwin, he's got Gakpo, he's got Diaz, he's got Jota. There's all these options available. Plus then obviously the ones that you have in the slightly more, either the slightly or the much more deep roles in terms of like McAllister and Szoboszlai and all of those guys. So it's quite difficult with Liverpool.
Interesting that he didn't play Darwin against Atalanta and then didn't play him again today. I thought he was nailed on to start today, I have to say.
Yeah,
and maybe he is waiting. Maybe he is...
He wants the Everton game.
He wants the Everton game.
To give him some save points for Pickford.
But you know what? We didn't play Nunes. He puts Jota there. And immediately you have more energy. Immediately that front three are doing what Klopp wants them to do, right? I just... I'm not sure that was a rest for Nunes today. I think that was a drop.
But I don't think that Gakpo was great. I don't.
Maybe not. No, maybe not. But he was in that kind of 10 role, wasn't he? It was. From what I can remember, Diaz, Jota and Harvey more on that side, was it? Or was it probably Gakpo on that side?
Gakpo.
I don't know.
I just don't think Gakpo is very good.
I think you're being a bit harsh. I'm not sure that was a rest for Nunes today. I think he's been off it for weeks, Nunes.
He has been off it for weeks. Wouldn't be surprised to see him start against Everton though.
In FPL, I hope so, right? Because I want some points. But
you're not seriously telling me that he's going to start Jota again after that comeback from injury and give him another...
Possibly not. Possibly
it was like
not.
70-odd minutes he played today.
But all I'm saying is we had Diaz. I think you're being harsh on Gakpo. I think the energy you provided was really good. So you've got Diaz, Gakpo and Jota, right? Three very, very high-press, energetic players.
Sure.
And when you've got Trent at the back that can progress the ball through those areas and ping balls over the top and put the ball into those areas so that the front three put pressure on the defence, that's the way Klopp likes to play. And Nunes doesn't do it. He did it, it was a couple of months ago, where he was doing it and he was pressing like a maniac. And I thought, right, he's got it. Okay, still can't finish and he still can't hit a donkey's ass with a banjo, but at least he's pressing. He's in the team. But I think the options are there now. I think you've got the Gakpos and the Diases and the Jotas. I'm not sure about Darwin, honestly.
Gakpo is a better option than Darwin. I really don't. I think
Gakpo is, but if you had a straight choice now, if you wanted Liverpool, right? Because right now, no double game week. And in fact, in 37, it's Villa away, right? Not to mention the Spurs game coming up as well. If you had a straight choice now between getting Jota or Darwin as your second Liverpool attacker... Well, even as a Liverpool attacker, because a lot are going to go without Salah, right? I would not be going anywhere near Darwin at the moment.
Well, no, but my plan was always to sell Darwin after this week, so I kind of think the point is moot. But what I'm saying is that I don't think that he is a better option. Sorry, I don't think that Gakpo is a better option in attack than Darwin is. Like, if you said to me...
Actually, going back to Gakpo, I'm comparing Jota to Nunes. No one's saying get Gakpo.
No, because... but what I'm saying, Lee, if you listen, is that... If he'd have said today, I'm playing Luis Diaz, Jota and Darwin, for me, that is a better front three for Liverpool.
He can't play that, though, because no one plays right out of them.
Fine, but my point remains the same, is that I don't think that he is a bad option. I still don't think he's a bad option. I don't think you would invest, no. Do I think you need to immediately sell? I mean, I'm planning to, but simply because that was always the plan. The plan was Darwin to Isak at this point, because we're coming into a nice period of time for Newcastle. Obviously, we have to see what happens in midweek, because we know Isak is... Callum Wilson is back in training as well, so obviously that has a little bit of an impact. And this time last year, Callum Wilson was great for me at the back end of the season, if you remember.
I remember the four goals,
captained him, didn't I? That was what did it. We'll see. I think we have to see. If Darwin doesn't start again in midweek, then I think it makes it really, really simple. I think if he starts in midweek and plays well, though, it becomes difficult again. I think that's all I'm saying.
Mm. I think you're right about the Jota injury. I think he starts Nunes, but I think if Nunes isn't doing the business, he'll pull him off. He'll just get rid of him, because Jota's so much better than Nunes. So much better. And we missed him, massively missed him. Anything on Fulham? Muniz, an assist this week, but that was it. Kind of gone off the board a little bit since international break, exactly as I said he would. Still worthy of a place in our teams or not really?
Well, it depends on how you set up your team though, doesn't it? Because I think if you've not got the five to get to Mateta as a third forward, I don't think he's bad. Mm. I still don't think he's bad. I think he remains a nice enough pick till the end of the season, because at that price point, he can be your eighth choice and you can bench him between now and game week 38 and you can just sit there. I think if you've got a little bit more, 0.4 more, you can have Mateta, who's got nicer fixtures and, as we've talked about, you know, in good form, Palace, good attacking movement, and all the players back from injury, all of that good stuff. So I don't think he's a bad pick by any chance. I sold him this week to get Mateta in. I'm not planning to make that change back again. I think I'm just going to hold Mateta now.
Sure. Third for XG underachievers, Rodrigo Muniz, with a delta of 0.48, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area. So if you did have him and he was in your 11, then a little bit unlucky. Just got to get rid of some knobheads in the chat. Si, if you're out there, mate, you could help us out by getting rid of these bellends. Right, let's go to what other games can we discuss? What else is there to discuss? I think that's pretty much it, isn't it? Do we want to talk about Brentford smashing Luton or Burnley smashing Sheffield United? I went on Sky and stated my case for Gustavo Hamad. Can I call that a win?
I take your Gustavo Hammer and I raise you Mateta.
Yeah, well, Mateta was an obvious one, whereas Hammer was a little bit out there, wasn't he? So I'll take that as a win, potentially.
Well, wait, hang on.
4-1 defeat.
Was that some sort of, like...
What?
I don't think it was obvious.
Of course it was.
What are you talking about?
Two home games in a double? Come on. Easy.
So by 5%
everyone was going for
game...
Mateta.
Oh, my God.
Gustavo Hammer had a 0.2 ownership. If you're going to do differentials, you've got to do a proper differential.
Are you all right tonight, dear? What have you been drinking?
I don't know. Right, let's move on. We got to stop.
Come on, because we've got to talk about your wild cards, and that's going to take forever, because you'll just start chin-wagging.
Take
and...
forever, won't it? Just take forever. Here's where I'm at so far. 39 points, red arrow.
How many have you had play, and how many have you still got to play?
I've had... Oh, I don't know. You can see it on the screen. I've had plenty to play, loads still to play, so it still could go well. But when I looked at live FPL, actually the one that affected me the most was Mateta. He was the one. Saliba with the 8 was my one that made the biggest difference. Mm. But Mateta was the one that hurt me the most. In the end, I didn't get Mateta because I looked at that front three and I thought, well, I can't get rid of Darwin. He's got double game week. Haaland, I think, you know, fine, I'll keep him. And I fancied Solanke to do well.
Oh, you could sell Solanke. He's got a double.
Against Aston Villa and Wolves. And again, with a double. So I couldn't really sell anyone out of that front three for Mateta. But it wasn't like I was going into the game week thinking, I don't fancy Mateta. I did. I just wanted to stick with what I had. So in the end, it was my three Liverpool players not showing up. I had Salah, McAllister and Darwin. None of them started. So yeah, not great.
So you have had 10 players play and you've got 12 to go.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. I've just got to plug the laptop in because the power keeps falling out.
I thought you'd done that once already.
No, it keeps falling out. Oh. So there I am.
More
I'm
tech
on,
issues for us today.
39 points, an overall rank change of something like 35k down to 45k. So, listen, I don't know. The one thing that I will take from the Liverpool game without any of my three starting is that I do think all three now will start at Goodison. And I'm hoping that I'm hoping that the likes of McAllister and Darwin can get something for me, because McAllister still is a really good differential for me. Loads of football still to play. What else is there to say? 45k down to 45k. It is what it is. Wild card coming up. Yours is a little better. 45 points. So an overall rank change of up to 208k. So a nice green arrow. With obviously, again, loads still to play. Talk us through it.
So I've had 9 so far, also with 12 still to go. So that was quite nice. The double up for the Arsenal clean sheet, I was so glad that I did that last week. Because obviously, I'll be honest, I did have a little bit of a moment when I did the Udogi to Gabriel thing last time around. Because I was like, I feel a bit dirty.
Like, Spurs to Arsenal.
But Spurs to Arsenal for a start, that was one thing. But more importantly, it was the fact that I was giving up a double game weeker for 35, and I was gaining one for 34, but I was giving up one for 35, and I was like, oh, could I mangle my team around some other way and do it? But actually, obviously now with the injury to Udogi, it feels like it was okay that I've done that,
totally,
and obviously
fine.
The clean sheet came in, so that's fine. Pickford being hero status, basically.
So good, isn't it?
Hero status. And then obviously, you know, Saka and Salah doing nothing yet. Mateta being a worldie, as usual. Now, my team is slightly different to most because obviously I have the three single game weekers.
Mm.
So
you've got a bit still to come then, haven't you, with Palmer and Gordon and Haaland?
Palmer, Gordon and Haaland feel like they are actually slight...
Pretty differential.
They do. Yeah. And actually, when I look at... I'm just going to get that back up on here because when I was looking at live FPL earlier, I was obviously thinking about, you know, how many players have my... Because we've had the first set of fixtures, how many of my opponents got up on me, if you know what I mean? Like, how many players down am I now? But the answer is no, I'm not. Everyone around me that I'm interested in, i.e. you, Jules and Kelly and Ian, everyone's got 12. But the 12 are different because, obviously, you've got, like, Eze and people like that, and you've got Palace defenders. I don't have them, but I have Palmer. Now, Palmer... At my right, so he is.
What's his EO? Go on.
59.
Yeah, you see, you need a pen for that to.
Gordon
that to
is at 13.
Yeah.
And Haaland is at 62. So these are players. Now, obviously, Haaland missed out of the weekend through his injury. So there is a chance that he doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't make it in midweek, which is, if that happens, that happens.
Tino coming off the bench wouldn't be the worst thing ever.
It would
ever,
be
though.
Tino off the bench, which is, wouldn't be terrible. I mean, it's not ideal, is plays. It, against Palace. But, it you know, it's okay, right? So I'm looking at my team thinking, well, Gordon and Palmer and Haaland are the sort of players that you never get differentials out of.
Yeah.
But this week they kind of are. And so if they do things, then that's going to massively help me, to be honest.
Don't mind it. All right. Well, listen, green arrow that could be a lot greener coming
into
the game.
Let's hope so. Should be a lot greener. If I'd have been braver.
Should be. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is what it is, though, isn't it? So 45 is not a bad place to be. An overall rank change of 7.1. So good. Yeah, really good. Let's get on to then wildcard. I'll give you a feel for what I was thinking in terms of my initial thoughts, and then I've kind of changed it quite a bit. So I've got kind of a 1.0 draft, and then like what I would call kind of 1.1.
Okay.
And get in the chat, guys. You guys can tell me what you think about it, and I'm obviously keen to hear what you've got to think about
it. You better read it out for the podcasters.
Yeah. So this was my kind of 1.0 when I first hit the button. I was like, okay, well let's have a look.
Does
at
that screen
then.
Say no Liverpool?
Yeah, so this is my first thought on it, was 3 Man City, 3 Spurs and 3 Newcastle, right? Those seem to be the kind of teams to focus on. Obviously, sticking a couple of Chelsea, a couple of Manchester United as well with Onana and Hoyland. Keep my Arsenal players. I'm not sure about this yet. This is where I think a lot of the crux of the thinking for wildcarders in 35 is going to come down to. It's going to be, do I want to keep Saka and Gabriel? I still think their defence is elite, right? And I think the ownership is too high for me to go without at all, right? I think you do want one in there. Because when they do keep a clean sheet, the whole game's got at least one clean sheet, right? So I do want to keep at least one, I think. And it probably will be Gabriel for monetary reasons. Saka is the big question mark. So right now in this draft, I have keep Arsenal. But then no Liverpool, right? So I don't have, obviously, Salah in here, and I've got rid of Darwin, right? There's a lot that I don't like about this, right?
Wait, hang on a minute. Sorry. I'm sorry to disrupt you.
Go for it.
Are my eyes deceiving me?
No, go on.
Or am I seeing the Spurs defensive double up?
Yeah, that's one big problem with this draft, is Spurs defensive double up, which is probably...
Who is that?
Idea.
Vicario and who?
Vicario and Porro, right? As well as Son, right? Now... I didn't like that at all. And also, the other thing I didn't like about this version 1.0 draft was that Vicario and Onana together, two goalkeepers that don't exactly like clean sheets, and it's costing me 10.3 of my budget. I was like, what are you playing at? Stop mucking about with that.
I think
like a bad
one
idea.
Spurs defender is a bad idea, let alone two.
Yeah, so I don't mind Porro. I'd need to look. We need to hear from Ange, don't we, as to where Porro's at with his injury. But if he's fit and available, I don't mind him, right? Not that I fancy you for clean sheets, but he will get...
I haven't seen him in training.
Right? And this is the problem. Because if we're going into the double game week in 35 and he only plays one or none, then, yeah... I'm not gonna go for an Emerson Royale or a Dyer or not Dyer or Davies. Dyer is long gone. A Ben Davies or a
Ben Davies.
Or
what are you talking about? Eric Dyer.
I said Eric Dyer, but he's
semi finalist at the Champions League.
I know. Knocked Arsenal out as well. Did you know?
I love Eric Jesus. Dyer. Eric Dyer loves me.
I think without Pedro Porro and Udogie in there, I think Spurs become defensively a lot weaker, particularly down those.
We can't possibly be any weaker than we've already been.
Yeah. So, didn't like that draft much, but there was some that were starting to get locked in terms of my thinking. So Isak is, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have, you know, I can't see me not having Isak. Palmer for sure is going nowhere. Son, I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. Foden, I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. One Arsenal defender, I'm pretty sure he's going to be there because I'm scared of the ownership. Vardiol, what do you think about him? As my Man City defensive coverage, my three City there, Vardiol, Foden and Haaland. What are we saying?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Template, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, they don't keep clean sheets.
Mm.
I don't think you need a City defender, but, you know, personally would rather have the double up of the Arsenal defence than have a City defender.
Right. Okay. All right. And then Share in there as a bit of Newcastle coverage as well at the back.
Yeah.
Don't mind it. Okay. Anyway, that was my 1.0 draft. Some stuff I was starting to lock in. Some stuff I don't like about it. The second wildcard draft, so the 1.1, largely came down to one player, actually. And bear in mind that I put together version 1.1 as United went 3-0 up. So we all know what happened to Manchester United. They snuck through by the skin of their teeth on penalties. But as they went 3-0 up and Bruno Fernandes scored...
Oh, my God.
I was like, I actually want a bit of Bruno in my team. And when you look at, obviously, the double game weeks, you look at what fixtures they've got coming up, he's obviously on penalties. He takes the set pieces. In FPL, he's been getting a load of points recently. He's been going a bit kind of low-key, under the radar, doing really, really well. Because no one's thought about bringing him in this game week because he's not got a double. So everyone's kind of delaying the Bruno thing until, you know, game week 37. But
you've sacrificed Anthony Gordon for him.
Yeah, but listen, I've got Isak. That's fine. I don't need two of them, right?
What?
So here's how version 1.1 went. I'm spending a lot less on my keepers.
So who's that, please?
That's Dubravka and Petrovic in goal.
Okay.
And then Porro, Gabriel, Gusto, Vardiol and Van Hecker at the back.
Okay.
Bruno Fernandes, Palmer, Saka, Son, Foden. Those four...
are locked.
Well, I don't know about Saka. Those three, Palmer, Son and Foden, I don't see me not having.
I cannot fathom a wildcard team that's not got Anthony Gordon in it. I just don't understand that.
Mm.
That feels utterly stupid.
Well, it's not stupid, is it? It's just a risk. It's that what we said before about, you know, if you're not going to have... What would you take out then? Saka? Or not have Bruno? Who would you not have in that midfield and have Anthony Gordon instead?
I absolutely wouldn't have Bruno Fernandes by any chance. But I'd also wouldn't... If it was a choice between having Saka and Gordon, I'd have Gordon over Saka.
Mm.
I'd have Garnacho over Bruno.
Garnacho
over Bruno.
I don't know about that.
I don't want any Manchester United players.
And then for the podcasters, it's the end of that team is Haaland, Isak and Watkins up front. So there's Isak again. Watkins, I just can't get him out of my thoughts. I know that he's not got a double game week, but he doesn't need it, does he? He's on such good form. The amount of goal involvements he gets is unbelievable. So I liked version 1.1 much better than I liked version 1, mainly because I'm not spending 10.3 on goalkeepers, which seems absurd.
Yeah, but I think version 1 was better. You just don't have the goalkeepers that you've picked.
What, you would go back to this one, but just have different goalkeepers?
100%. That's a much, much more balanced...
Well, I'd have Hoyland as my Man United cover rather than Bruno.
No, I wouldn't have any Man United players. I'd put Ollie back in there. I'd take some money out of those goalkeepers because that's ludicrous because they are too... I mean, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love Vaccaro. He's brilliant, but those defences aren't keeping
clean sheets. Have Petrovic in there instead.
Have Petrovic and then pick whoever else it is that you want that's got a double. If you really want someone that's got a double, fine, go for it. Go for Raya if you want. Go for... I know he hasn't got the double. Or go for Edison if you don't want to have... Vardiol, then go for Edison there, and then you've got two doubling goalkeepers for the 37.
You just like this draft better because it's got Gordon. You love Gordon, don't you?
I just think you're mad not to have Gordon. I think you're mad, and I like that better because I think Shah is such a better option than Dubravka because he's giving you that attacking threat. Dubravka has the risk of Pope being back before the end of the season.
That
as
is
well.
True. I've got to think about that.
So there's that factor in. Shah's got the attacking threat. It would enable you if you went for Edison in the goalkeeper slot instead of Vaccaro. If you went Edison and Petrovic, then you could keep an extra Arsenal defender in your Vardiol slot because then that would help you to deal with Arsenal keeping clean sheets in the weeks where you'd want to play them. I think that would give you the money for Hoyland to be Watkins.
Okay.
And then you've got this perfectly balanced team that's got Watkins back in it while he's going mad. And then if you really want to, you know, go for somebody different, then you change out Saka. But I think that midfield five is where you want to be, roughly.
No Liverpool in that team? In either team?
We'll go for Jota instead of Saka. Ballon d'Or winning Jota. I think that is a far nicer team than that other one you've created. That other one's
mental.
You
prefer 1.0.
Bruno Fernandes over Anthony Gordon. Are you mad?
It's not mental. What you talk, it's not mental, is it? It's a really fine looking team. It's not that much different. It's just got Bruno instead of Gordon.
And Dubravka, who's a risk.
Yeah, okay, but you can change that, right? You can't say that's a bad looking wildcard team. Look at that back four. That's pretty much going to be my back four.
I didn't say it was bad.
You said it was mental.
It is mental because the other one's so much better. Because the other one with two or three tweaks is a really nice team. It's just you've got the weirdest goalkeeper combination I've ever seen. Vaccaro and Onana.
Yeah.
Are you mad?
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that this one's got double Chelsea defence. So I want Gusto and Petrovic.
Well, I have. Came in trumps on Monday night against Everton.
Yeah, but you can't just say this. You know, that's a better team. It's a better team because it looks like your team. I'm trying to be a little bit different.
That right? doesn't look like my team.
I think Bruno Fernandes. I just have a feeling about him. I just think he's a really good differential between now and the end of the season. I just do. I just think he's
wow.
He's banging the points. I wouldn't go for Garnacho over him. I think if I was going to straight pick between the two, I'd go for Bruno. I agree with you. I would prefer to have Anthony Gordon in here somewhere. I would prefer to have that somewhere. But I don't know where in that midfield I'd have it. Maybe over Saka. Maybe. I don't know. What about the first one? Son, Palmer, Saka, Foden, Gordon. That's gonna be the template midfield, isn't it? Probably. I mean, the Saka position is gonna be up for grabs.
The other thing to consider here,
the template midfield,
is who the hell's getting benched?
Well, I'm not worried about that because I've got a bench boost in 37 to play. I've only got 3 other weeks where that's going to be an issue, isn't it? I can worry about that in those 3 weeks. It's kind of a nice problem to have, but I've got to think about having a 15 because I've got the bench boost in 37. Some of you guys, Webby's in the chat saying Jackson. Definitely not, mate.
All right, look. Definitely not. Let's just go back to real basics with this. Ollie Watkins, is he a better pick? Forget everything else. Is Ollie Watkins a better pick than Hoyland? Yes. Is Ollie Watkins a better pick than Bruno Fernandes? Yes. Absolutely. So,
maybe not with a double game week in 37. He's not got one, Watkins.
Ollie Watkins will outscore. I can't have any more bets with you because I've got enough bets with us. But Ollie Watkins, I think, will outscore.
He's got Liverpool at home in 37. Yeah. He'll score against us, no doubt about it. He'll score against us. But so am I getting a bit too blinded by the double game week?
I just think that you have to. I think you've been blinded by
Man United being 3-0 up.
They nearly lost. Like, I think you've been blinded by the fact that you've kept your what. This is the slight issue with late wildcards, is that you play them late. You've got such a limited period of time for it to work that you go rogue with it, and you go.
It's not that rogue. What's rogue about that? Everyone's going to have that team. That is, there's going to be such a template for wildcard 35, and that is not far from it. You can't call that rogue. Just got Bruno Fernandes in it. That's not a rogue wildcard.
Not having Anthony Gordon is rogue.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Choice. Not having Son, Isak or Palmer would be rogue. Not having Anthony Gordon is just a choice.
All right.
Not rogue.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Lots to be discussed, I suspect. Lots of wildcard drafts to be done over the next few weeks, right? And this is just wildcard draft 1 and wildcard draft 1.1. But I do fancy just doing something a bit different. But look, I've done that all season and I'm 30k. I've always had one or two differentials, right? And they've either come off or not. I was early on Richarlison, worked.
Babe.
I've gone in on McAllister a few weeks ago, it's not worked.
I'm not saying.
I fancy Bruno for the rest of the season. That's just a gut feel, right? Based on how he's playing and what I'm watching.
You must be watching a different Man United to me.
Well, listen, until Coventry's come back, they were looking great.
Yeah, but they're a championship team. And they, like, honestly, I don't know. I also think that it's mad to not. I do think it's mad to not have an extra Arsenal defender. As somebody that has been week upon week upon week punished by that.
You've been scarred by that, haven't you?
I think having, if you don't want to go for the double up in the defence, then fine. But get Raya in the goalie slot.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. Maybe go for
like
Raya
just
there,
cover it, because I tell you, it's painful and it hurts.
They are pretty good,
and they are very good defensively.
They are pretty good. Well, there we go, guys. Lots to discuss, I'm sure. That got a bit heated on the wildcard, more than I thought. I didn't think Bruno Fernandes was going to get you quite so riled up, but there it is. Tell everybody what's coming up this week.
I can't believe it. Hello, this slide has changed.
Yeah, I've decided to go a bit bigger on this one. What's coming up this week?
Okay, that's interesting. What is going on this week? A bit of a quieter week, actually, I think, for us this week, which is quite nice. No major things to talk about. Actually, that's a lie. That is a complete lie. Let's start that again. What is coming up this week, Sam? I'll be on the Fantasy Show on Friday. I forgot I was doing that this week. Fantasy Show on Friday for me. Dear. Talking all things game week 35. I wonder if Tom did that deliberately because it's Spurs doubling. I bet he did.
He's smart like that.
Yeah, he's smart. He's a good producer. So, I'll be down. And I'm so excited because Kelly's back as well. So it'll be me and Kelly's back in the studio together on Friday, which will be lovely. On Thursday, obviously, I'll be doing the pod with Kelly and Jules. Jules, you accidentally forgot to change his captain.
Oh, my God. Who did he leave it on?
Haaland.
Right, so the way that this season goes for Jules Laurent is that Haaland doesn't play on Thursday and he gets vice-captain.
No, it's Salah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say he's got like Vice Mateta or something ridiculous.
Well, that would have really...
Oh, that's the sort of thing that would happen, right?
No, so yeah, he's got Haaland captain. So yeah, I'll be doing that with them guys this week.
He forgot... Wait a minute. He forgot to change his captain. What is this?
I don't know.
He's in the top 5K. How can you forget to change your captain?
I don't know. He made his transfers. Because I always do after the deadline pass. The first thing I do is check what you've done in case you've lied and told me something different.
Yeah.
But you always tell me the truth, so it's fine. And then I check what they've done. So I went on and saw that he'd done this transfers and I was like, oh, he's done what he said. He's done Henderson in and he's done Mateta in. Great. And then I looked across Live FPL and was like, and he's captained Haaland. So we're getting our group chat and I'm like, Jules.
That is a weird one, isn't it?
I went, Jules, did you mean to captain Haaland?
It's a weird one.
And then about 2 minutes later, I got a FFS back. He said, no, I didn't. I didn't know I'd done that until you just text. So I think he probably forgot to press save.
It's like, so George is in the chat saying, how is he in the top 5K? George, it is a mystery, mate. How is this guy in the top 5K? I just don't understand. I just don't understand. He forgot to change his captain in the biggest double game week of the season so far.
You know that Haaland's going to bang though, don't you?
Blows my mind.
He'll be winning it because Haaland's going to get six or something ridiculous against Brighton on Thursday night. Best thing is that by the time we pod, we won't even know if his captain's played. Because the pod's on Thursday morning. Anyway, so we've got that. And then obviously we'll be back with...
Can you give him some abuse for that on Thursday, please? I forgot to change my captain. That deserves...
I can't wait to hear his excuse.
You know, an engaged FPL manager, that deserves a little bit of feedback.
There must be an excuse. There'll be an excuse coming. Sure. It'll have been because he's been to Barcelona... Where else has he been? Barcelona, Manchester, Lille, London...
All
in
over
4 days
in Europe this season.
Yeah,
this week.
That'll probably be why. And there'll obviously be an Ohana for our patrons, as usual, on Friday morning. We will actually be able to put it out at proper time because we'll both be together on Thursday night, which will be nice. Yes. So we'll record it properly and send it out to you on Friday morning. And then obviously we'll be back on Sunday night with the usual live stream, which will include all of the games from Game Week 35, except for Spurs and Chelsea, which won't be played out until the Thursday night of next week. And then, of course, it's a Friday deadline next week.
Is it a Friday deadline?
Yeah, so Spurs and Chelsea finished the double up of 35 on Thursday night.
Straight in
the next day.
Straight 36. In. All right, well, yeah, that's worthy of note. So don't forget that, guys. So just as 34 finishes in Thursday, we go again. Friday deadline.
No, I'm talking about next. You didn't listen.
No, I don't listen then.
35 into 36, that is.
35 into 36. Yeah. Okay, great.
No, it's a Saturday deadline this week, Lee. Come on.
I'm still thinking about Bruno Fernandes.
You've got me rattled about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno.
There we go, guys. That is the stream for this evening. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for bearing with all of the tech issues at the beginning. The podcasters, you lucky people, you've not had to deal with me leaning into Sam all the time and
the disaster, microphone
being moved around and stuff.
Personal space has been infiltrated.
So if you have watched us this long on YouTube, then thanks for sticking with us.
Sorry,
honestly, I don't know what's gone on, but I'm going to try and figure it out now. Well done in Game Week 34. Good luck for the rest of what remains in Game Week 34. We'll see you this time next week when I don't know what game week it's going to be. What is it? 35, 36?
We'll be in 35, won't we?
We'll be mid-35.
Well, we'll be nearly finished. It'll just be Spurs and Chelsea left to go in the double.
Right, okay.
Presumably everyone will captain Palmer apart from Jules if he forgets.
Who knows? Well, maybe what could happen next? Who knows? There we go, guys. Keep in touch on Twitter and everywhere else and I'll let you know how I'm getting on with my wild card. I just think Bruno's a good pick. I do think Bruno's a good pick. There we go, guys. See you next week. Cheers, guys. Bye.
Bye, everyone.